Okay, we start this morning session for this week. Just a reminder for you, our original plan for this morning session will be a guest lecture from Knut Lindlin from Stan Norge, but unfortunately he cannot make this trip happen this week, so we will shift it to next Friday morning session. So accordingly, we will not have the afternoon session this week. So today we don't have the afternoon session. And accordingly, we will add this afternoon session to next week. So as you may see here, so I think next week will be pretty busy week for you in terms of this course. You will have the practical part on Wednesday afternoon and then the full day next Friday, including morning and afternoon session. In the between, there will be a NIST lecture. And another news is one of my colleagues, a professor, Stewart, he will give you some description or news to announce a event of ghost story telling in cyber security aspects. So he will give some details before we conclude the morning session next week, next Friday. Yeah, just some news for you. Can you hear this tape? See this table clearly, or I don't think we have time today, unfortunately, for form a new jury to make a judgment or a computation of two groups from last week. So I will quickly, we can go through them together. Is it okay for you? So still think about, give a shorter review what we learned from last week. It's about risk management. So one equation you must keep in mind, right? Risk is equal to impact multiplied by likelihood. As we mentioned, this is not always the case. For example, some black swan accident, it's hard to estimate this part. Then you can consider other variables, for example, human motivation or incentives to replace this part. Or another easier way for you to do risk management is just to look for what we mentioned. Benchmark, exactly, or you refer to resort to standard best practice because they are already established things, has been used by your peer organizations or competitors. So you can just take them and use it. Of course, sometimes you need to make some action to tailor the other things for your specific organization. And we have exercise in calculating this risk at the end of the course and last of lecture last week. So you will find this four worksheet. The first worksheet we call the inventory worksheet, as you already see here. The second one we call it weighted factor analysis worksheet. The third one, ranked vulnerability risk worksheet. And the first one, we just come up with a set of security controls to different vulnerabilities. We can try to fill this, for example, as we mentioned, the example we used from last week is if I want to establish a private web services for patients. So we store the patient data in our server database, and we provide this data analytics as a tool, as a service to our service patients, so they can anywhere, anytime, to get the health advice for themselves from this platform. In this case, if we look at the three criterions, the first one, impact of revenue. I still use, for example, my weight set last week, 20%. Impact on profitability, say 40%. Public image, 40%. We just, for example, use one row, one case, for example, for illustrate patient health data. If you consider the importance between range 0 to 1 in terms of revenue, what could be the weight in this case? Larger than 0.5 or lower than 0.5? Lower. Okay. Then if we say agree, that's one. And consider the same data, health data, in terms of proper profitability. You want to make it then I have to input something there. Okay. I'll try to do that. Better? Great. Yes. Too much. Okay. In this case, larger or lower than 0.5? Lower. Okay. Any different opinion, or maybe we can vote if you think we should vote for lower than 0.5. Okay, and larger. Okay, then we use lower. Point, how much? 4 or 3? Okay, 3. Yeah. Public image. Lower than 0.5. Raise your hand. Or higher? Okay, then we say higher. 0.8 or 7 or? Okay, we say 0.8. Good, then we do calculation. We multiply this weight to each numbers here, right? So in this case is 6. This case is 12, so 18. 32, 18, so it's a 50, right? Okay. If I'm wrong, just correct me. Then we have this weighted score from this weighted factor analysis worksheet. We jump to the third one. We put 50 here, which is already calculation result from the previous sheet. And then we consider what type of vulnerabilities to patient health data. Any idea? For example, very straightforward one, power outage, could be, right, of the whole system. The likelihood is very small or could be high. Or I believe it is quite small here in Norway. Let's say this number. Any other idea? Leakage from the database, the server side, or from the patient client device side. Let's say from the server side, for example, the direct consequences could be ransom, right? People get the data, encrypt it, and give you a ransom. Likelihood is lower than the power outage or higher? Higher, okay, let's say this one. Then we have risk scores. In this case, it's 1 to 5. In this case, it's 5. Okay, we copy this to the Then we consider the controls. So now here from the resource core, we can see the leakage from server side is much higher than the power outage case. Then we come up with some idea what type of control, security controls we can propose for these two cases. For the power outage, any idea? Backup of the data and probably infrastructure as well. Depends on the budget, right? And the leakage from the server side. Any safeguards or security control we can propose? Firewall, indeed. And the other? Any people know this one? Homomorphic encryption. This is a fantasy tool. That means you can encrypt the data without the need to decrypt them. You can do the data analysis on this data. Fantastic, right? But it is still in the lab stage. Not very practically useful because of the high computational complexity. Okay, we don't have so much time, so any questions about this? Then we continue to our lecture today. Security planning. So last week we learned risk management, so we can assess the risk for your organizations in terms of all the digital assets you have. The next thing, if you are CISO, the next task for you could be based on these risk scores or different type of risk assessment or management results, you need to make a plan, right? A plan could be a general plan on the top level, strategical plan, or it could be a very detailed plan to implement a security control. If you want to have a takeaway from this morning session, this could be the sentence you have to keep in mind. Very well characterized our topic in this lecture. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail, from Benjamin Franklin. So agenda, I will give you a worst case practice. That is a real story. In that case, people did not have any or very well planned security, and then they suffered a lot. And then we go through some concepts. You may notice from our textbook a lot of concepts in this chapter. And it's not easy to differentiate them. So I want to use example. For example, if you are CISO in your organization and you want to establish a anti-phishing functionality in your organism, then what we can do according to these different requirements or to give some examples for these different terms and the concepts. I believe this could be a better way for you to understand. And then we talk about the security architecture design, education and training, continuity strategies. Before we conclude, if we still have time, we can get a quick look at a reference example, how MSDN, they established a security planning guideline for their developers. So the worst case, real story happened 5 and almost 6 years ago. Welcome media. I am not so familiar with this, but I just found this case from internet, which is very typical to tell you this story if you do not have a well-planned security, what can happen. In this case, by the way, Qualcomm Media, they operate a block. Such a block is physically, in terms of server, physically located in New York. They can let the customers register to the block and share some, for example, the gossips or the videos of some celebrities. At that time, when the hacker broke into the server, there were 1.5 million user accounts compromised, and out of them, 0.4 million passwords can be cracked. And let's take a look at what happened, why this is very easy to crack their passwords. First, if you look at the hash functions, if you remember, if you are going to make a backup of the password file, it should not be the plain text in the database, right? It is obvious. So no problem, they use the hash. However, they use, so if you still remember, what is a hash function? So this is the input, could be the user's password. Use it as a hash function, you can generate a hashed value. And this one can be stored, no problem, in a safe way in the server database. But usually, if we talk about this password, it is not very random. And especially a lot of people, they use very easy password, 12345, something like that. Or QWERTY, this is also a very typical one. And even worse is a lot of people share same password like this. So let's say if 1,000 people, they share the same password, 12345, 6. That means they can share the, they can just pretend to be another one inside this 1,000 people, this population. So that is why we need to use sort. A sort is a random number or random value. It can be stored in the same time as a hash value. So basically we say it has lower protection level. It can be, to some degree, it can be public. But the functionality of a sort is it adds more randomness to the original password. For example, if you add this random string and another person, they use the same password, but they can use another hash sort. So because of the difference, the generate hash value will be different, right? But look at this case. The sort is only 12 bits. And if you want to use 12 bits to diversify different people, you can estimate how many people you can diversify. In this case, that is 2 power 12, right? So in the largest case, you can only use this very weak sort to diversify this number of people. But the correct, you see there were 1.5 million users account there. far less than this population. So make the whole hash function very weak. And even worse is the server, they even truncate the long password to the first 8 characters, make the system even weaker. And what is the response from the company? After the incident was disclosed, they thought that merely a mistake or some problem happened with their email system. They didn't really get aware of the whole attack, what happened. And then when they were aware of the situation, the serious situation, they post questions and answers with apology to their customers and promise to improve their security. And they put a banner on top of the blog, looks like this, to ask the users to reset the password. But one thing is they claim they encounter some difficulty to email the notification to all the customers. That means if, for example, you're a customer of this blog and you accidentally had a business trip and without any time to log into this service, then you might be not aware of this attack at all. And even worse is a lot of people, they use the same password across different applications, right? So this makes the things even more serious. And the CTO of the company, he was very honest to say, to have this comment, say, first, we never planned for such an event, and therefore there's no system or process in place to adequately respond. And also say, our development, the reason, look under the second quotation, our development effort has been focused on new product while committing relevantly little time to reviewing the past work. So that means, I think this could be very typical for new startups. They are put a lot of effort or resource in expanding their market to come up with new services to entertain their customers. However, they may overlook or they may neglect the security aspects in this case. That is the bad story of basically there's no good security plan in that case. And this is some news still happening here. I just got this message from Yahoo email account this morning. So I added this one page this morning. If you have a Yahoo email account, this happened today. Yes, exactly. Yeah, you got the details. The thing happened 2 years ago, but they just announced it today. But if you compare those two cases, I would say Yahoo, definitely they give a better, slightly better security plan in this case than the Gorkha Media case. For example, in this case, all the passwords, they were hashed. They use more secure hashing functions with 128 bits sort. And they do email all the customers to notify the problem. And they also claim, according to them, there's no financial data leaked. And they recommend another way to as a alternative solution for manage the password, that is the Yahoo account key, which uses a phone-based authentication method. Come to our terms or concepts of security planning. In our textbook, you may see the plan, security plan, could be made in different layers, different levels. From the top level, we call the made by C-level, CEO or CTO, CIO. and it is a long term. It is really strategic, so you don't do not expect some details how to implement it. But they may specify some resource, financial resource, how much percent, for example, can be invested in that case. And even lower, we need to make some, we call the tactical plan, which is more measurable with a time limit. And the bottom layer, we call the operational plan, which is really operable and manageable. It will cover the everyday, daily activities in the organization. To give you examples, for example, if we are going to realize this anti-phishing functionality in our organization, think about what could be a strategic plan. Just one sentence, anti-phishing functionality, right? But normally the top management, they will be more sensitive to the financial things. So they may add another requirement in a affordable way. Okay, how to implement this? So that will be a responsibility of a CISO to make a technical plan, which is more on the methodology level. You need a methodology, a set of methods to implement this strategical vision. For example, you can make a risk management and a budget plan, a cost-efficient awareness training program, a phishing prevention, detection, response, and recovery system. And you may also need to consider to buy insurance in this case. If some disaster happened and you cannot make it recovered in a very limited time. And on the manager and the employees level, they need to consider how to operate. So they should make an operational plan to cover their everyday operation. So it is more on the technical level. For example, you need to consider to purchase or to create by yourself and how to deploy a ID authentication mechanism in this case. Or to integrate some free anti-phishing software kits into your system. Or purchase and implement a training program like the Phishing Guru, which is a popularly used training program for increase the awareness against the phishing attack. So by these concrete examples, you can have a better understanding what is the difference between the layers of security plans. And we have another dimension. Yes, we need a plan, security plans. Another dimension we need to do is we should establish a mechanism to carry out this plan, right? Just like a government, so we call it security governance. Simply to say, we need to define the roles and responsibilities for different employees, either the top management or the technicians. So from our textbook, you can get an example like this. So for different persons, different roles, they should take different responsibilities. And after you have plan, after you establish a mechanism to carry out a plan, you need to now come to the details, how to make a security policy, right? So what is a security policy? It is a set of principles to guide the decision, action, and the duties. To better understand this, you can just regard it as a law inside this organization. So it should contain information about, for example, what is right, what is not right, what is a bad practice, what is a good practice. So it is just look like regulation and law. You should respect when you're dealing a information security challenges. And also, it also need to define what the penalty are and also the appealing process are. examples. By the way, one thing. From our textbook, you may notice the very famous case that is the Anderson-Enron scandals. So in that case, Enron has some financial deficit, and Anderson as an auditing company, so he should have a responsibility to fund the problem. However, in that case, they have some corruption. They want to help to hide this evidence. So they use their old company's policy. The policy said you should purge or destroy all the customers' data within a limited time, let's say a few months, 6 months in that case. And they really use this policy, their old organization policy, however, which is contradictory to the law, because in a case investigation phase, all the data, all the evidence should be kept intact. So this is a very good example to say, if you lay a organizational security policy, the policy themselves should not be contradictory to a established law. So this is easy to understand. Give you some examples. What could be a security policy? For example, a very general one could say all employees must respect the security policies, including the C-levels. Or all employees must attend and pass the regular phishing training and the test. If we talk about the financial budget, we could be fixed percentage of security budget should be invested to anti-phishing functionalities. Or relevant to very details, like how you should use your password. You can say use very strong passwords or use a two-factor authentication, something like that. So this is understandable, right? Any question about the security policy? If you do not have question, I have one question for you. If I'm a CISO, for example, I'm CISO of NTNU, just assume, and I want to establish this anti-phishing functionalities in NTNU, in this university, then I lay down these policies, security policies, and I circulate this policy to, for example, let's have a quick small exercise. Let's say we require all the employees to use strong password and assume I'm the CISO. I give this policy to all the employees. Suppose you are employee. What's your name?
Akanta.
So thank you. Assume you are a professor. And I might need to be curious about the complexity or the security level of your password. If you can write an example here. And another professor. Thank you. If you can write another password, just think about it should be very strong for your account. I have a pen, if you like. And do not look at each other, of course. Yes. Now let's talk about the first case. Use this case to understand what could be the next steps if we already have a security policy. Okay? We use this case of a policy said we should use strong passwords. You are ready? Okay, thank you. So, yes. So if you can explain why you design such a password and why you think it is strong enough?
Uppercase and lowercase.
Uppercase, lowercase.
Yeah. Number.
Number.
Special sign.
Special sign.
And the various combinations.
Okay, different combinations. And the other professor, and your opinion?
Kind of the same strategy, except it is easier for us to remember.
Okay, so there's no special characters. In this case,
there are some numbers, no special characters.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So we see we have two very strong passwords generated. I would say in practice, yes, they are strong enough, but I can still see some difference from different people. So the thing is, if different people look at this requirement, this policy, strong password, how to design them, they might have different understanding. In this case, we have some slight difference at his special characters or no special characters. I mean, this specific two cases. So the thing is, policy could be not enough, right? It is too rough. We need something else. That is, we want to learn here. We call it a standard. So policy is more strategic. In most of cases, it's not easy to measure. So different people may have different understandings. So we need a standard. Standard will, they will harmonize the different understandings and require all the people to respect the same standard. So this is easy to understand, right? And what are the other things, like we also talk about the practice, guideline and the procedures. Practice, you can regard it as examples, or good examples of standard. It could be used or recognized and properly used by your peer organization or market competitors or recognized organizations. Guideline, it is more concrete and more operable. It will give you examples. What type of method, what type of procedures you can follow in your guideline. And procedures is even more operable. It gives you step-by-step instructions for the users. Give you examples in this case. We say we have a policy here in the previous slides. We should use strong password, right? Then here we can lay a standard. We say password must be minimal 10 characters. Or we can say we need an additional 4-digit extra PIN code besides the password for authentication. That could be we call the two-factor authentication. And we can specify the number of phishing training and test per year. So this is something we can measure. If you satisfy all these quantified conditions, okay, we can say you respect the standard. Then what could be the practice? Practice, you look at other people, how they satisfy these standards. For example, in this case, another organization, they use even more secure password account creation rules, like in this case 15 characters, or they use a randomly generated instead of user specific PIN, and they can use a specific method for training. They call the embedded training. For example, they just sent a test phishing emails to you. If you accidentally click the link, they will generate an alert immediately for you. This is called embedded training. So just examples. How could a good practice looking like? And the guideline. Guideline just give you a specific method. How you can use this method to get compliance to this standard. For example, you can use the mnemonic method to generate a password. For example, this password, I use this method. Any people can understand this? I like to read book. So this is what we call the mnemonic password generation method. So this could be specified a guideline in your organization for the users. And then procedures, there's nothing more to say to procedures. That is something step by step. If you are a user, just follow the steps. Then you can achieve the goals. And talk about the content of policies. We also have these different layers. We call, for example, in the top layer, strategical direction or enterprise. They call enterprise information security policies. basically to specify the roles and responsibilities. And ISSP issue specific security policies, like what could be the policy for the employees in organization to use their own devices, we call the BYOD, and system-specific policies. It is more relevant to the machine level. So the ISSP issue-specific, it is more relevant to regulate how people behave. And the system level will be laid down, for example, the access control policies, how the program can access different resources in the system. It is on the machine level. Components of the policies. This is the example given from our textbook. I think we can have a 10 minutes break. You can consider, I have a task, small task for you. If you have the circulated sample, we will have a sample of the Bluetooth baseline requirements policy. It's a example of security policy laid by Sense. And if you compare this sample to this suggested requirement from our textbook, find some difference. And check which component listed in the requirement list in our textbook are not mentioned in the samples from Sense. Okay? Okay, welcome back. And the answers for the question, did you find some difference in the content or attributes from the sample security policy and the components listed down in our textbook, if you compare these two documents? Any people have any hint? So you found they are exactly the same, or? No? Any answer about this? What is the difference? Any idea could be, for example, what type of what is the for example about the policy review and the modification? Is there any corresponding item in the sense sample in this part? If we look at this part, did you find the corresponding things in the sample? This has been specified in the sample provided in sense, or which part? Point 1 or compliance measurement or which part of yes, yeah, we can see the roughly there's a corresponding between these two part, but I would say there's no specific conditions, for example, what type of legal liability or in this part are specified here in the sense document. But it depends on, I give you this example, just want to you understand there's no fixed format. If you are going to write a security policy, for example, for this issue-specific security policy. Here, the components of ISSP just a recommendation. So if you can go through this list of components, it gives you a very comprehensive scope what you can consider in your specific security policy samples. If I were the authors of the sense one, the sample from sense, I would more clearly specify the penalty and the legal liabilities there. Yeah, this is something I can suggest, but this is open. There's no standard answer. Or you still have any other ideas, or? Okay, then we continue. About the management aspect of policy, you find this different requirement from our textbook. For example, we need to specify one person instead of a group of person or even two persons to take responsibility of the administrating the policy aspects. Also, you need to plan a schedule of repeated review every year or every month. You need to specify the dates, and you need to specify the method how to collect the recommendations before each review or after each review from the employees, and care about the specific policy issuance and revision dates. Must respect the deadline to fuse the confusion of the new and the old policy. And also, it is also interesting to notice that there could be some possibility to implement automatic policy management by software, for example, some software, in this case, phishing detection. They can analyze the situations to make the context more available and give you some alert to assist in human operation. Another concept we need to differentiate, it is blueprint. Just think about something like the case we are going to build a house, we need a blueprint. So simply to say, it is a detailed version of security plans. So it will specify the task and the orders, the priorities for implementation, and to very details. So with a blueprint, is basically a very concrete plan. You can use have this plan to immediately start your work. And how to make a blueprint, how to make a concrete operable security plan, you can refer to so-called security framework, or some people say security model. If you ask me the difference, I would say model could be a very good framework which has been deployed by many recognized organizations in this case. But both security framework and the security models, in this case, for example, the ISO 27000 serials and the NIST security models, they are all we call the standard as well. So the thing is, you can just borrow the idea from there, take the framework here, and tailor it to your own situation, to your organization's need. Here in textbook, we found the list of the ISO 27000 serials, which has been popularly used and also extensively discussed, very well established set of standards. You can directly borrow the idea if you are going to make a security plan, security blueprint. A short summary about the concept set. So first, if you are going to plan security in your organization, you need to make the plan in different layers. Strategy layer for the top management, tiered operable layer for the technicians to implement to cover their daily life. Then establish a mechanism how to carry out all these plans, to specify roles and responsibility. Then make the policies laid down. And how to make the blueprints from the, you can refer to the standards. And finally, make a blueprint which is directly applicable for you to implement the security plans. Other concepts, like you need to think about how to establish the architecture of security controls. This will be usually happen taking place after you have a security plan and make it as a part of the security blueprint. You need to decide them, decide the security architecture in the concept level and the technology level, as we already mentioned this in the SDLOC, right? So for example, different layers, different levels of control, management controls, operational controls, and technical controls. From our textbook, you can see this figure, which is very good, I think, for us to understand how to structure, how to architecture the whole security plan. If we locate the information in the center, or say in general, digital assets, that is something we want to protect, right, here. And think about who can access them. People, of course, and systems, information system, computer system, as the most adjacent layer to the information. And the more external layer, it is a network. Network connect the internet, the outside network, to the systems. The external, most external layer is the internet, of course. And if you have this concept in mind, you can consider the security controls. What type of security controls you can come up with for different layers. For example, in the very adjacent, the vicinity of the information itself, then you care about the people aspects, also technology aspects. From people aspects, you need to think about the education and the training, think about the policy and the law, and also need to make a security plan. For example, in this case, incident response, disaster recovery, and how to make your business sustainable if the disaster is out of the control. So all of these are relevant to human factors. And in the same layer, adjacent layer, you can find the technologies, for example, use the encryption, cryptography, to protect your information from the access from the system layer. And between the system and the network layer, you can find this access control, of course. You make access control policies to allow the customers to access the resource in your server in a remote way via a network. And the external layer, that is between the your internal network and the internet, you can find a lot of security control here as well. Firewall, intrusion detection, proxy servers. It is very good you have these different layers for protection and think about in which layers, what type of security controls you can deploy. And another very key concept it is we say to design security architecture, you must be aware that security could only be achieved by defense in depth. So this is a concept. You cannot rely on a single layer or a single security controls. Another concept, security parameters, which can be regarded as a range or scope. You protect your architecture, your digital assets from outside. And our textbook gave a very good example of this architecture, normally used by a organization, how to protect their information, digital assets here, and they need to construct the internal network here, and in the internal network level, you can install a network intrusion detection system to detect some malicious behaviors to generate alerts. And you can also install a host intrusion detection prevention system that is more focused on the, for example, the program access control in your old system. And in the between, the outside network, internet, for example, the public network and the internal network, you can establish a firewall for separation. And you find the different technologies, firewall, the military roles, proxy servers, intrusion detection systems. From the week after next week. So in 2 weeks, we will start learning all these specific technologies. Another aspect we need to pay attention is the education, training, and awareness aspects. We call the SETA. I don't think I have much more to say about this, except you can regard it as a, it should be a regular event happened in your organization. And also you need to review the content for the training to update the content. And we talk about another concept that is the continuity strategies. There were basically three sub-plans under, if we say, what is the ingredients inside one typical continuity strategy plan. There were three plans. The first, the incident response plan, and disaster recovery plan, followed by the business continuity plan. But they are not actually in a sequence. They could be a lot of overlap in the time schedule if we are going to set up these plans. And the incident response plan, they focus on immediate response. Disaster recovery plan, they focused on the purpose, how you can restore the system after the disasters. The business continuity plan, it will consider the case the disaster could be out of control. Then you need to resort to other methods. For example, you outsource that part to another partner to get some collaboration, to ask others to assist you to provide the service during this disaster recovery period. And yes, this is basically components of the contingency planning. We already mentioned the three steps, the three sub-plans. And as I mentioned, you can see from this figure, what is the relationship between the three sub-plans? We call the incident response, disaster recovery, and business continuity. You can always find it looking like a workflow. For example, from the very first place, you need to detect the incident. And you are facing a decision. You will evaluate this incident, the scope and the impact. If it is merely a limited incident, you can consider just use incident reaction and then followed by incident recovery plan already prepared beforehand. If the incident is out of control, for example, some impact has already been there, it becomes a disaster. Then you start your disaster reaction plan and you evaluate if the disaster is big enough. As we called, it is out of control. Then in this case, you consider to resort to another business continuity plan. If the disaster is still controllable, you try to restore your system, your services. So this is basically workflow. A example. For example, this is how to exercise a contingency procedures or how to plan these contingency procedures beforehand. If you have such a case, a project containing sensitive personal data for data analysis use. For example, last week we used the eHealth data services case. if you can invasion, in some case the data can be leaked, right? But under attack. The only thing is the administrator may just notice that a week later he suddenly realized, 1 week before there was some attack. And to learn this lesson, for example, if you are CISO in this private company, you may need to make a well-prepared security plan, contingency plan for next time, and think about use the page I circulated to you. You can think about for each phase, each component here in the work floor, what type of plans you can use in that case, or what type of security controls you can use to prevent and to detect and to control the limit, the impact, for example. Think about this. You may have 3 or 4 minutes, then we can go through this together. You can try to use your pen or pencil to write some solutions for each block here. So here I repeat it here, the context is your server, if you are CISO or the security administrators, you notice that 1 week before there was an attack to try to get your customers' data from your server. And think about the next time, if you are the CISO, what type of security plan you can use for each blocks here. okay, we can go through this together, and I try to give some answers here for this case. You can compare your answers to mine. For example, for incidence detection, we may come up with some security controls to detect the contacts. We can label different operations or the different environment having different risks. If the user is entering a environment or a situation labeled as high risk, then should be some alert generated there. And also we need some security controls to detect the leakage, right, in this case. And as we immediate the incident reaction, we should just reconfigure the access right to internal, not as a public, allow everyone to access the data. And we need to confirm whether the data is still useful or not as a recovery plan. If we detected that the scope is very large and a lot of data has been leaked, then we need to start the disaster reaction. And we might need to replace the leaked data with other set of alternative data to still maintain the business. And if the disaster is out of control, for example, the system is down and you cannot maintain your business at all, you need to identify alternative physical infrastructures in this case. Outsource this part to another partner. And in this case, you might need to recover the functionality of the original server and another physical site. So still very rough, high level, but you know what we are going to do in different phases, in different blocks during a contingency plan design phase. I think we don't have so much time. I want to show you this video clip to show what could be a good practice from the perspective of CERT. You know CERT. We already mentioned this before. So Computer Emergency Response Team, what could be the usual work they are doing, the targets, and the best practice. I think we don't have so much time for the remaining slides, but I would encourage you to go through all these remaining parts for example, business continuity plan, how to prepare different type of services if your service cannot be sustained during disaster, and to test yourself whether in different cases, how can make a security plan, and what is the crisis plan, crisis management, which is more relevant to human aspects instead of ICT security controls. For example, you need a group of people to communicate with customers, to communicate with law enforcement, police, or prepare your employees for rehearsal trainings. And you may have this dilemma whether we should invite law enforcement involved in a disaster or, say, contingency plan. It both give you advantages and disadvantages. For example, disadvantages, if you invite a law enforcement agencies involved, in this case, you might have no resources under your control anymore. And also it could be taking a long time to conclude the case. The advantages could be, yes, they are more professional in detect a, for example, what happened, the reason, and the whole collude, from the collude to find the criminal. Okay, please take a look, close look at this part, which is very important. Then we will, before we conclude, we can take a look at the video clip.
Some of them over here just flew in last night. Karen was a great introduction to what I'd like to talk about.